Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy Screw Day to you. Happy Friday to you. Happy B. Scott Friday to you. That's what it is from now on. It's a B. Scott Friday, baby. Brandon, Kyle, Scott in the building. How you feeling?
Yeah, man. Hey, glad to be here on a Friday, too. The vibes are different on a Friday, man.
It really is.
So I enjoy it, man. And especially, I'm not going to lie, I appreciate it in the last segment, y'all playing some screwed up music. But it did get a little weird when we started talking about Lopez and Jan's love life. They're not my radio parents per se. But I didn't like it going in that direction.
I'm sorry.
I gotta be honest with you.
That's on me. I'll raise my hand.
Like, wait a minute.
That's my bad. However,
things are sacred.
I hear between the sheets and I know what time it is.
Yeah, no,
you are correct.
That's an 8-minute song, and I'm good for at least three of them.
See, that was
there
his fault. I didn't do that.
Yeah. And see, that was the joke I was going to make. I appreciate that Lopez could make it himself. That's why I love you, man. Nice job by you.
As always, I'll give you the opportunity to hop on this wave. We were talking about, you know, Screw Day, and the question of the day really was, what's something that you celebrate like it's a bona fide real holiday? If you want to answer that, go for it. But I feel like you want to get in on what's your favorite Chop the Screw song.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would be hard to nail down one. I just got one from experience, and it's just really unique to my experience. I do want to point out the day that I used to celebrate like a holiday. They don't do it anymore, but Sam Houston State, y'all know I went to Sam Houston State. Mm-hmm. When Sam Houston State would play SFA, and particularly when they started doing it in NRG Stadium, Battle of the Piney Woods, it might have even still been Reliant when we started. But either way, that was like for me like a holiday for sure. But on this Screw topic, it's a real deep cut. And I'm trying to remember how I even got this, because y'all got to remember, I was a little too young to be at the front of the Screw. Like, he died in 2000, right? So I'm around 11 years old. So I wasn't, like, standing outside of his house waiting on Screw tapes. I hear about those stories. Mm-hmm. But once I did come of age, LaToya Luckett, who formerly of Destiny's Child, had a song called Torn.
Yeah.
Okay, it had to have been maybe 2008, and somebody screwed it up. Hey, and I jammed this, and I don't even want to like mention what kind of frame of mind I was in, but around 08-09, I jammed the mess out of Torn, Screwed Up.
Oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I see what time you're on.
So this was my one, Torn, Screwed Up.
I might have to play this on the way home, man.
No, I'm going and finding this.
And the version that I had.
Put these on the big speakers.
And mind you, this is like 16 years ago or so. Yeah, so I was going to say it had vocals. Yeah.
This is tough.
Yeah,
all right.
Dude, so that's my one.
Appreciate you putting me on, because that's all that you did there. There's some other people that you can put on, but I don't care about them right now.
No,
for me
not
in
right
particular,
now.
I thank you for that.
Yeah, man.
With that, in honor of that, what I'll give back to you is around the NFL, and I'll start with one of the least fun topics.
But
to talk
I don't
about.
Want to gloss over what you said in passing, so our listeners who are here all the time know. You said from now on.
Yes.
B. Scott's going to be joining us 11 to 12 every Friday.
Yes. Correct.
So if you were used to Tuesday, I just want to make it kind of sort of a programming
note. No, you're right.
Note,
you're right.
That you'll be here every Friday. So that's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, put a pin in that. Put that on your calendar, man. Yeah. Every Friday.
They said T-shirt and panties by Adina Howard Screw and Chop. All right, I got my notebook out.
I did remember those.
I will write some notes.
It's
down.
A lot of R&B that's fired, Chop the Screw, though, man. That might be better than the rap songs.
That's why
that was the beauty of it is that like the really good songs especially like love songs or slow songs, if you chopped and screwed them, it kind of enhanced
it a little bit. Isley Brothers, which I grew up on the Isley Brothers. I went to their concerts when I was in high school.
Back when they were doing Twist and Shout?
Yeah, they were beyond that even, but all the way through college, I used to go to Isley Brothers concerts. They got like, what, 4 or 5 songs?
A lot of songs, especially Ron Isley.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've been a jerk and really poking at you a lot recently. You're about to go on vacation, though. It's fine. All right, around the NFL, we should have gotten to a little bit earlier, but that's on me. Free agent kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended without pay for the first 10 weeks of the 2025 season due to violations of NFL's personal conduct policy, which is to say it very, very lightly, the way that this goes. Tucker has denied all misconduct, and his agent, Rob Roche, I believe is how the name is pronounced, said, quote, "We are disappointed with the NFL's decision." He went further to say that Justin has always strived to carry himself in a way that would make his family and community proud. He stands by his previous statements in order to put this difficult episode behind him and get back on the field as soon as possible. We have advised Justin to just accept the resolution and close this matter. The people who know Justin best know his character and understand that while he remains fully committed to excellence as a football player, he is deeply dedicated to his most important lifetime roles as a father, husband, and friend.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, I hope
Jesus Christ.
They laid it on thick.
Yeah. So look, I want to be clear. Obviously, we don't know exactly what happened. You know, we can't say exactly what happened, but this, similar to the Deshaun Watson situation, I always come back to, man, if you did not do this, this would have to be one of the bigger conspiracies of the century that you could think of in terms of like framing or trying to blackmail somebody or essentially frame someone for doing something that they didn't do. So that being the case, what's more likely, that a guy might be a jerk and take things too far and overstep his boundaries, or that one of the bigger conspiracies that you can remember is happening right in front of you? Look, like, one thing feels more likely than the other. And that's me with the caveat of saying, I don't know what happened.
And you've heard me say this before. If I am accused of something I didn't do, I am the most, you know, compatible, helpful, you know, so-called accused on the planet. I'm like, what do you do? Let's go get video. Let's go. Whatever you want. You can take my blood. Take my DNA. I didn't do this. All right.
Yeah.
I did not do this. I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do to prove that I didn't do this. When you say, oh, he's just going to accept the penalty, it's just a horrible look. And by the way, the last regular season field goal, I think he's done.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not going to see him again.
That's the football side of it. Yeah. He hasn't been good, and who knows how much like his personal life has factored into his performance. I have no idea.
But regular season field goal he kicked and made?
Yeah.
Houston Texans.
Why'd you do that? Was that necessary? See, that's a man that's about to go on vacation. That's a man that's about to go on vacation. That was that. That's what that was, if you need some level of insight. No, I'm with you. I think he is done. Like, how old is Justin Tucker again? Like, he's already up there.
At least 34, 35. I mean, he was in college. I feel like I was in college or still hanging around college, you know, not supposed to be, around the time when he was
35.
In college. Yeah, so I was going to say, he's right behind me.
I guess in theory, guys could continue kicking, but the bigger issue is that you've seen the, you know, the actual accuracy go down, and, I mean, the standard of, or the delta between solid kicker and elite kicker isn't so high that you're putting up with like this type of scandal continuing. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. If he didn't have the scandal, he would have got another chance somewhere else if Baltimore released him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not worth it having this scandal held over him like that.
Yeah. And for the kick, and not to downplay kicking, but let's just be honest. Like, you were more like Deshaun Watson had all of this stuff, and then he got the most guaranteed money in NFL history at the time, and what is now probably going down is one of the worst contracts in sports history.
Correct.
Right? Like, but that was because of his position as a quarterback, Cleveland Browns' desperation for a quarterback. Ain't no team going to be that desperate for a kicker, especially one that's performing like this. But no kicker, even if he was prime Justin Tucker, you're not that desperate for
and
a kicker.
And suspended for 10
to where
games.
You bring a guy that's suspended and got all of this
that's
baggage.
That's a great point. Like, because also, don't suspensions don't just roll if you're a free agent. It's 10 days after once you sign.
Yeah.
So you'd have to sign him and then eat 10 weeks of utility.
Yeah.
I thought they said he. I thought I seen someone say he could serve it as a free agent, though.
Oh, okay, I guess.
Well, I don't think that's how it works.
But that is that's how the language was written in this particular instance. So it does feel like that. But either way, right? Even if it's just like, hey, we got to wait 10 weeks to sign you. Yeah, maybe there's a team
that's just as bad.
Maybe there's a team that's so hard up in week 11 that they go, all right, we might give this a shot. But you like, there's some places where you're willing to, you know, take on the risk benefit analysis or the cost benefit analysis of, hey, this dude has a, you know, is a blemish on our you know, moral record or whatever.
Yeah.
Kicker ain't really typically one of those.
It would have to be a team like the Chiefs or something. Like if their kicker get hurt or something like that.
It's a very small group.
Yeah. It got
to
be.
Harrison Butker to Justin Tucker switch would be insane.
Oh, wow. That's right.
They the only ones that could probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's very few teams that could do
it. But think about it. It's not that many guys that can kick, but there are enough of them for you not to have to do this.
Yes.
Correct. Like, you can go find another guy who can physically kick. He ain't Justin Tucker, per se, but you'd probably rather do that than this at this point.
Yes.
All right, some other things around the NFL. Commandos. Washington Commandos, wide receiver. Who's their best wide receiver, do you think, at this point? Is it still scary Terry for you? Because they have Terry. They add in Debo as well. I still would go Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I would say Terry. I think Debo's got a chance to be, like, I think he's more of X factor. Now he adds an element, really because he's such a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
He has an element that they just didn't have before. But if we're talking about overall best talent, Scary Terry, I mean, he's probably, what, a top 8 to 10 receiver?
I mean, the tough thing about doing like top 8, top 10 with wide receivers,
you gotta leave somebody out.
It's just like basketball for me, where you see, people do like, oh, he's top 5, top 10. I'm like, go actually count it out. And
yeah, it's
because
like quarterbacks too.
We don't often. Well, quarterbacks a little different, but like there's so much talent in basketball. But then also wide receivers now, there's so many good ones that you look up, you start counting them, you're like, I thought top 10, and I go, top 25 isn't that much of a disrespect to a player, right, in certain instances.
Yeah, so. I spitball the number, but to the original question, I do think he's their top receiver.
Right.
Terry McLaurin, with Debo being, again, the Swiss Army knife that could be an X factor.
I'm with you, and it feels like Terry also feels that way. He's getting mandatory minicamp. He's in this contract dispute with the franchise as he's trying to get a new deal. He's in the final year of his current deal coming up, and he had a career-best 13 touchdowns last year. It's hypothesized that he could be asking for something in the $30 million range, which would put him in just like the top half of the league. Like if we're talking about, you know, average annual value, I was looking at it for all the wide receivers and, you know, $30 million on average annual value would have him, you know, somewhere looking around T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk literally just got a deal a year ago.
That's the one.
At 30 average.
I feel like that's the one for Scary. Like, if you're Terry McLaurin, you're looking at Brent. And I know that the folks over there, I follow what they're doing out there on radio in the Bay Area quite a bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know that they look at that Brandon Ayuk deal as a bad. They don't like that deal.
Yeah.
The fans and the media there, right? And if I'm Terry McLaurin, like, not just hating on Brandon Ayuk per se or caring about the 49ers, just thinking about your own situation, I would feel like I'm better than Brandon Ayuk.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Or at the very least, if this is what he's getting, this is what I should be getting.
And the other part of this is, it to me, it just kind of reflects how good a deal Nico was on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know.
21?
I feel like
that?
We knew that 22? At the time.
It'll be 24-25 this year. But
on
average, general average value all the way
across. Hey, look, Nico's a mild-mannered dude for the most part. How long we think that lasts?
That's a great question. Although, I got to remember exactly what the length and the term of that. It's a 3-year contract. Like, so I think once
it
you
goes
get,
through 27, yeah.
Once you get through this, actually, yeah, it would be 4-year contract in that, right?
Yeah.
Once you go through this year, 2 more seasons.
Yes.
Like you're getting near that space where you're going to have to have that conversation again, which is why the MO of the Texans works.
Mm-hmm.
You get your money. We're okay with paying a little bit because we'll be back in the negotiating table here relatively soon. Or you might be okay with taking a little bit. Like, it's not going to be too contentious because we'll be back here talking relatively soon.
Well, literally the only argument against Nico in a negotiation is one that still stands, and that's the health thing, right? Like he hasn't really been able to stay healthy for a full season. Realize his full potential, even though we've seen more than a glimpse of it over the last couple of years. So I feel like that's probably a good reason or a big reason why either he wouldn't agitate or wouldn't necessarily be successful in getting that, because they still have that question of, hey, can you stay healthy for, can you give me 15, 16, 17 games? And can you do it more than once?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So I look at it and I go, okay, you have Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, you know, Amon-Ra, Tyreek. That's kind of that top tier. And it feels like that $30 million is really that line of demarcation of, do you view him in that top tier or do you view him below that? And now I have deputized Brandon Scott, John Lopez. You are now the decision makers for the Washington Commandos. Do you give Tyreek 30? Terry McLaurin.
Yeah. My point on this is yes, because of who your quarterback is and you've got the opportunity.
Yeah. Stole my thunder.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say that to me, it's not a coincidence. It could be because of the time and, you know, his years, his career, but like the quarterback comes in, the wide receiver has his career high in touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're cooking with grease. Kind of similar to the Nico Collins thing. Like, I will say, I was early on the Nico Collins thing. I just thought he didn't have anybody to throw him the ball. Like, even in year two of Nico Collins, and then he got hurt, of course. It's like, oh, man, I think that there's something there if they ever figure out the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
They did the next year, and then here comes Nico Collins. I think it's a similar situation with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, the context is everything.
Where people have known he's been really good, but they're just, you know, Sam Howell, whatever they were doing there, didn't really make a whole lot of sense, and now it does. I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Especially with the quarterback on the rookie deal still.
And, man, I wish I had given myself a little bit more time because if you look at the Commanders are actually a wildly old team. They have the oldest roster by average age on that whole team. If you're not doing it now, like spend that money. Now, of course, they are spending a lot of money. Shout out to Josh Harris or whatever. But if you're not doing it now, then I don't know what you're actually going for because it's not like you got a long – I mean, you got a young quarterback, what have you, but you have a lot of money tied up in some older guys. Might as well put a little bit more in. At least that's the way that I view it. As someone who is not signing any of those.
Yeah, and even if you sign the contract, let's say you did so reluctantly on Washington's behalf, would that not be a tradable contract? Like if it doesn't work out, let's say you just go all in this year, the next couple of years, for however long you've got, you know, for however long you got the rookie quarterback or the quarterback on the rookie deal, and then if it doesn't work out, he should have, I feel like, a tradable contract or something that they can get out of. I think this is something that you can just do to kind of satisfy everybody and go all in on right now.
Yeah.
All right. I said I was about to get out here, and of course I'm breaking the clock. sue me. It's Friday. Question on the YouTube page. Is Nico the league's best value proposition at the position of wide receiver?
Ooh, I'd have to look at it.
Some other ones that I'll throw up here. Can I interest you in a Cooper Kupp, although 31 years old and coming off an injury at $15 million average annual value? A Chris Godwin at $22 million, who is about four and change less, or rather two and change less than where Nico is making at 25 plus. And then Mike Evans at age 30 at $20.5 million. Those are the ones that I'd throw up here.
Evans or Kupp?
Yeah. I was going to say Evans, or you threw another one in there that was good. But
Godwin at 22?
Godwin at 22, yeah. Evans and Godwin, I think, are both pretty good. But, I mean, Nico's got to be right there.
And Nico's
younger than all of them.
He's a good 4 years younger than all of them, than the youngest of those.
So it's probably Nico, actually.
It's probably still Nico. Yeah, fair enough. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got B. Scott in tow, as he will be on Fridays from here on out. And so get used to 11:20 on a Friday getting B. Scott's thoughts. We'll do that next.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
He is here on a Friday. It's B. Scott from Hiram Clark on this June 27th. Happy Screw Day. And without any further ado, B. Scott's thoughts.
Hey, it's not just June 27th, Happy Screw Day, but now that we've had several days to mull over the Rockets' decision to trade for Kevin Durant, right? And this is my first time in with y'all to talk about this.
That's true. It's been a minute.
I've had enough time to really, because y'all know I've always been on this, right? So I was an early advocate for it. So no surprise that I'm happy about the deal. Like, that's not going to shock anybody. But the more time I've had to think about it, I feel like this is their best offseason that they've had in my memory. And my memory goes back about, let's just call it, let's just go back as far as offseason moves to like the Steve Francis era. But after the championships, but like 25, let's go 25 years or so.
There's one particular offseason that
I know. Now,
my eyebrows are raised.
In hindsight, I feel like that offseason, you're talking about the one where they trade for James Harden.
Of course, absolutely.
In hindsight, that is obviously their best offseason.
Yes.
But let me tell you, and this is the reason why I thought about this. I'm talking about at the time.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So at the time of the move, I don't think any of us thought that James Harden was going to be the level of player that he turned out to be, regardless of how disappointed you were with his playoff performances and how he left and all that. He's an all-time great, and he became an all-time great right here in Houston, okay? So we can acknowledge that. But when they made the move, here's what I was writing and talking about at the time. I was writing at SB Nation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I wonder if James Harden and Jeremy Lin could be.
That's right.
Okay? So this is what we were talking about at the time in the conversation that I posed.
Yeah.
Could they be like some version of Ketino Mobley and Steve Francis, which today sounds ridiculous, probably sound ridiculous at the time, but I didn't know exactly what to expect from James Harden other than the fact that he was a real nice lefty, okay? And Jeremy Lin had just got paid a bunch of money by the Rockets.
That is true.
And so at the time, I'm thinking, all right, Jeremy Lin and James Harden, let's go. Let's see what this is.
I'm sorry. All I'm thinking of is which one did you think was which?
No, I mean, I thought the lefty was going to be Ketino Mobley.
Okay,
and, of
course,
James Harden turned out to be much better than Ketino Mobley, with all due respect to Mobley. And Jeremy Lin turned out to not even be in the stratosphere as Steve Francis. Shout out to Steve Francis.
But all he needed to do was dunk more, that's all.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just take it to the cup more. He dribbled enough. He just didn't dunk enough. But at the time, that's what I was thinking, right? And that doesn't that is not giving off the same vibes of, hey, you could go win the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you've got a former MVP, a two-time finals MVP. And not just that, not just Kevin Durant. And this is the thing I've been fixated on the last couple of days. But because I'm just as excited about everything around Kevin Durant and what the Rockets actually are bringing in or bringing back, I should say, as much as I am what they're bringing in Kevin Durant. The maturation and ascension of Amen Thompson, of Alperen Şengün, of the presumed ascension of Reed Shepherd, when we think that's going to happen, figuring out a better role or how to maximize what you have in Jabari Smith Jr. Like, the core essentially is still here, and you've kind of got this duality of bringing in an all-time great who's still very good in Kevin Durant and maintaining the bulk of the core that you've built that, for the most part, brought you this far.
Boy.
So I'm as excited about it. To me, this is the best Rockets offseason that I can actually remember.
In the moment.
In the moment. Because we don't have the benefit of hindsight with this one, right? It hasn't happened yet.
I think that's a great point. I really do, because I was on the air here. You know, we were talking about the James Harden thing at this station, and what people tend to forget is he was a sixth man.
He was a sixth man.
Sixth
man of the year.
Even in that moment, but yes,
averaged
fair
less
enough.
Than 17 points a game.
And coming off of an offseason where, or a season where, the fall off was problematic.
Right. Look. So in the moment, I think that's a great point, and I absolutely agree with you, because we were having the discussion. You know, Daryl Morey fell in love with his stats. This was one of the big advanced analytics guys that Daryl Morey absolutely loved, and I'm like, well, he's really good. You know, kind of what Reggie's talking about. You know, sixth man of the year. I think he won it that year, if I'm remembering it right. And all that, but he was still a sixth man that averaged less than 17 points a game. We weren't
had a horrible finals too, by the way,
and had
a coming off a really bad finals.
And we weren't asking the question that Reggie asked yesterday: championship or bust? When they acquired him, we're like, okay, let's see, let's see what he can do in this moment. And I don't know if you were listening yesterday or not, but we said you don't acquire Kevin Durant unless you are trying to win a championship. That
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
That year.
Yeah, y'all were doing the championship or bust segment. I'm with you. And I think it's pretty clear and obvious of that, right? Like, especially given the age, like you were acquiring a young James Harden.
Yeah.
You're acquiring an older and established Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But I think that's 100% the case. Like with James Harden, you were just now, and I don't think we even realized it at the time, but you were just now putting that building block there or establishing that. Then later, of course, you get Dwight Howard, and then things start to kind of come together and you see what, almost immediately you see what James Harden is.
Like, yeah.
But it wasn't the expectation on set go the way it is now. And I think that's not just, like, if you were just putting Kevin Durant on any old Rockets team, I don't know, the 09 Rockets, like just any Rockets team, then it's like, okay, what exactly is going on there?
Yeah.
If you just show me this core, like last year going into this year, it's like, okay, they had a great turnaround, but what's the there? You bring it together, Kevin Durant and the core, like you're giving me much more than what you were giving me in, say, 2012 or even last year, obviously.
And I think there's also an additional part of this that we've talked about a lot, but I think in the context of your takeaway here, your thought on this being the best offseason that you've had in recent memory, in your memory, was the cost, right? You had to pay a pretty fair market value, but you had to pay a pretty hefty price in order to end up getting James Harden. The cost of acquiring Kevin Durant is amazingly low here.
Yeah.
Like, you did not have to touch, like, typically you have to give up either a little bit of the future for or the current for the future, or a little bit of the future for the current. You did neither. You gave up neither of them. It remains incredible to me. A lot of praise is due to Raphael Stone. And I think that's part of why Raphael Stone went with the approach of, we're building a foundation first and adding to it, as opposed to Daryl Morey, rather. I keep trying to say James Harden. But Daryl Morey, whose approach was, I am looking for the star. I'll get the star and figure out the rest.
Yeah, and even if you want to go further back than that, right? Like, if you want to go back to the 90s, when they traded for Charles Barkley.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I saw somebody mention, like, this is giving me trading for Barkley vibes. Come on, and Lopez, you can recall this better than anybody here. Like, Barkley, by the time he got to the Rockets, was younger than Kevin Durant is now, but also not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good at that point. Like, he'd already had his best years. And I don't know, like, you could maybe even argue that, like, Kevin Durant just overall is just better than Charles Barkley at maybe not at his MVP year, 93, but like this version of Kevin Durant is better than most versions of Charles Barkley, like, period.
Yes.
So, and maybe more specific to what you need and the fit, like Charles Barkley with an older Drexler and an aging Hakeem Olajuwon, right? Like, that fit is okay. So we got a collection of old guys who were at one point great. Now you've got the old guy who is still really, really good to great with a bunch of young guys. To me, it does not compare to the Charles Barkley thing. And then, of course, Drexler was an in-season trade as well.
I think it compares to the Barkley thing, but it's not in the same at the same level. Yeah. Because the reason I said that is because the Rockets were still in championship mode.
Yeah.
Like, they were fresh off of, you know, winning champ, and all they needed was that other piece. They thought Barkley was it.
To Reggie's point, though, about the cost, I think the cost of getting Barkley was
I don't
was
remember
also,
it exactly.
Oh, man, they gave up Robert Horry, Sam Cassell, I think. Yeah. Didn't they? Yeah, I think they gave up Robert Horry, Sam Cassell. Maybe Chucky Brown might have been part of that deal. Like, they gave up, like, four players, no less than four players. Because I remember, of course, Robert Horry threw the towel in Danny Ainge's face.
Yeah.
So, like, they gave up significant pieces of their championship team.
Mm-hmm. All right, B. Scott, I see you with the memory.
Yeah.
Sam Cassell, Robert Horry, Chucky Brown, and Mark Bryant.
Yeah. And I was a little boy at the time, and I remember that.
No, the cost, for sure, but again, they still had Dream. They still had Drexler. They were 2 years removed from a championship. You know, they had, you know, all their other pieces, the Matt Bullards of the world and all that.
So
you still had the window, but the cost was more, as you mentioned, and
the player wasn't
Barkley was not nearly as good as Durant.
Yeah. And I think the part that you mentioned that I want to make sure to reemphasize, your team was already relatively old. Mm-hmm. So you added another old to olds. You're adding an old and experienced to youngs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And accelerating what is the development of this team. And you're not giving up the next 5-6 years, it doesn't feel
and
like.
And at the risk of being repetitive in citing these stats, Barkley did not lead the league in jump shot percentage, in jump shooting percentage, in mid-range percentage, in off-the-dribble shooting percentage. Kevin Durant did all of those things at 36 years old.
That's right. And so it's reasonable to expect. That's one of just the Barkley's game was not going to age in that way. It was predicated on physicality and athleticism. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant's isn't. Like, Kevin Durant's game is predicated on good footwork and being able to raise up over everybody because he's a 7-foot tall alien.
Yeah, and being able to handle the ball at that height.
As like, well.
He can still dribble. He can still shoot. He's still tall. Mm-hmm. So it's all good.
Fantastic. So if you needed any more settling on the Kevin Durant trade, selling on the Kevin Durant trade, B. Scott is your man. Always appreciate you jumping in. Of course, you're not going anywhere just yet.
I'm still here.
Because coming up next in the loop right here on Sports Rail 610, we will talk about what's popping, including Kelly Eco of The Athletic. Just earlier today, dropped a very interesting note about the Rockets as well. And again, no better person to talk about it with than B. Scott. So let's do that and more next. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're having a great time in here. In fact, he's supposed to be on holiday, but he just had to let us
know
that he knew that Mark Bryant was in that trade.
It's a party in here, baby. I was driving around town. I'm like, it was Mark Bryant. I got to go tell the guys. It was Mark Bryant who was in that trade.
Yeah, who did I say? Chucky Brown? Yeah.
You got the other three. You just didn't have Mark Bryant. Chucky Brown was in it.
I didn't have Mark Bryant.
You just didn't have Mark Bryant.
Chucky Brown and Mark Bryant.
Yeah. I told you to go drink Red Stripe. I told you to go drink Red Stripe.
Reggie rescued. I left my foam rubber microphone condom up here. So I would not be able to relax on the beach knowing my condom was sitting on a microphone.
That's right.
Back here.
That's poor etiquette to leave your condom around.
Now I'm leaving.
That's if you didn't know that it was a Friday, it is a Friday here in the loop. That is Sean Pendergast, who is now officially, I think, on vacation for the third time.
Maybe.
That's John Lopez. I'm Reg Latu, the Figgy Fig, hanging out. And B. Scott in on a Friday, baby.
I just love that I was able to bring Sean out. Yeah. I like wherever he was resting. You know, he rose and came through here and had something to say. I appreciate it.
I like to think he wasn't even listening. He just something in the realm spoke to him. Like, I got to tell somebody.
I got to tell Brian.
Mark Bryant. I got to get that in there. Yeah, B. Scott's got 75% of the trade out, man. You got to get that in there, man.
Speaking of the Rockets, speaking of trades, could there be another one coming? Kelly Eco of The Athletic, as we talk about what's popping. Good friend of the show. Shout out to him. He does incredible work. He says, and I'm doing a segment that I like to call reading, Rockets third-year wing Cam Whitmore has been the subject of a number of trade discussion in recent days, sources tell The Athletic. Situation is best described as fluid right now. Fellas, I thought that with the trade and with the guys that have kind of moved out, Cam Whitmore felt like he could be eighth man. Ninth man and an opportunity to have some impact on this team, something that he clearly desired and a lot of people that watched clearly desired. He's being bandied about. How y'all take that?
So this should not be surprising based on how his first two seasons with the Rockets have gone. So this is not a surprise report, but it is a little disappointing to hear because of the reasons that you just laid out right there, Reggie. And I think it's because, like for me, I looked at it in a similar way. Like, not only are you moving on from Jalen Green, but you're also kind of moving toward these younger players, these guys that you drafted after him, right? Like he was the first drafted player of the rebuild, right? Mm-hmm. Cam Whitmore is drafted a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. So like you're now kind of going to rely on, at least in my mind, you were going to rely on Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore to be perhaps the eighth and ninth guys. Like I feel like you know with the Rockets who the top seven guys are. Regardless of what moves they might be making this offseason, you know, past the Kevin Durant trade.
Right.
Feel like you know who the top seven guys
are. I go eight.
Well, I was gonna go seven, and then the eight and nine, depending on taking that next step, we're gonna be Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore.
Like
I can pencil Reed Sheppard in there, but based off of last year.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
Reed and Cam to me are the hopefuls.
Yeah.
But the hope was, at least for me, was that they would be guys eight and nine.
Right.
And potentially guys either seven or eight or be in the mix there. Of course, Steven Adams off the bench and Tari Eason off the bench are going to be probably your main guys. But if Reed Sheppard can give you the shooting that you've been sorely lacking, Kevin Durant notwithstanding being added to the mix, if Reed Sheppard can give you that secondary shooting notwithstanding, I don't see why he can't be somebody that plays just as much as any of those other guys. But the Cam Whitmore thing, it does feel like he's going to be the man kind of outside, the man on the outside looking in, I should say.
Yeah, but there was an opportunity there. And this is where it gets interesting to me. This floated. I mean, and he said it's fluid, I believe is how he put it. So
yeah, but I feel like it's fluid because there might not be as many bites in the water.
Right, right. But my point is, you mentioned Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore. Those are two relative still unknowns. So maybe what the Rockets are doing here, because I'm with you, B-Scott. You were talking about it during the break. I could see Reed Sheppard being, you know, a very integral part of the rotation.
I am irrationally confident in this guy.
Maybe I'm not as irrationally confident as you are, but I could see it happening. But I also don't know. And the Rockets clearly, you know, want more knowns. You know, because even Cam Whitmore is kind of an unknown in terms of stepping up his role.
Yeah, I agree with that. But here's where here's be my only pushback on that. What we do know about Cam Whitmore and what we do know about the Rockets. And again, this is the Kevin Durant trade notwithstanding, because obviously that's why a big reason why they brought him in was to help with their perimeter scoring and their outside shooting.
Yeah.
But Cam Whitmore, at the very least, is a bucket.
Bucket getter. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Get you a bucket. And what did the Rockets struggle to do for the longest time?
They need offense so bad. Yeah. Yes.
So, like, he also, oddly enough, and we're saying this with the understanding that he's been kind of on the outside looking in at times, on the outside of the rotation looking in for the most part, honestly, unless somebody was hurt or whatever it was. But he so perfectly and seamlessly fits into an obvious weakness of the team. It feels like there should be a spot for him, especially.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Especially given that they're replacing a younger guy with an older guy who my only concern is that they would over-rely on the older guy that they're bringing in. I'm high on the Kevin Durant trade, but my concern would be, if I were to have one, would be that they would over-rely on a 37-year-old in a way that I don't want them to, and they got this young 20-something-year-old who's only in his third year who can go get you a bucket. Can he play smart enough, play a well-rounded enough game to give you some quality minutes and not have to run Kevin Durant into the ground?
Right. That's exactly what my mind went to when I saw this, which was, oh, that was one of the few young offensive guards that I look at when I'm trying to figure out if this team can develop an offensive identity outside of Kevin Durant as well. And at the very least, what this tells me is I don't even need to see the trade, whether he's traded or not. You mentioned he's on the outside looking in with whatever they're trying to develop. Mm-hmm. He is not part and parcel. He is not a focal point of what they're trying to do, which tells me either they're not going to be serious enough about the offense, which I think will be a big demerit, or that's going to be something I watch as, what, June 30th come Monday is when the legal tampering period starts. The 6th is when the new league year starts, so free agency starts. When we're talking about building the team, offensive guard is where I'm looking at this team to be making some additions, or at least looking to add, because Amen Thompson, great slasher. Mm-hmm. The shooting isn't there. I don't know that you're going to be depending on just Kevin Durant and Jabari and Tari to be offensive guys for you. I think you still need something in that space, especially if Cam Whitmore's on the outside.
And you mentioned this in the break, so we have to bring it on air in terms of finances and how you can fit a player in, because I think they're looking more for a polished, finished guard, wing, whatever you want to call it, because Whitmore is also one of the guys. You brought up this question yesterday, like, how are they going to be finishing in the fast break and transition? He can help you with that.
Yes.
You know, he can help you with that. So I it just has all the markings to me of they're getting more of a finished product is what they're looking for.
Yes.
And that can fit salary wise.
Yes. And it's worth pointing out too, you got the non-guarantee of around $8 million to Jock Landale.
Yeah.
You got just under $5 million of a team option, I believe it is, for Aaron Holiday. So you could very easily decide not to bring either one of those guys back. And if you trade Cam Whitmore, depending on exactly what that looks like, what you're getting back, you can use that money and whatever the trade is to address that issue, right? The exact issue that you're talking about, Lopez. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I keep getting back to this. And y'all tell me if y'all think I'm contradicting myself by saying that I feel like Kevin Durant is such an obvious fixer for their issues, but I caution against them just saying, hey, Kevin Durant's here now, that'll fix it, right?
Oh, like, that's like what Reggie's been all about.
You know what I mean? Those. I feel like those two things can exist in concert without existing in conflict, if that makes sense.
No, for sure.
You know, and that's where I'm at. Like, I think Kevin Durant obviously fixes a lot of their issues. I don't want them to just be like, all right, well, it's settled now, we're good. We don't need Cam Whitmore and all of this potential. You know, like, we don't, like, coming off of our bench as our eighth or ninth guy. Like, I think that there is some value to him in that role, especially, like, we're not talking about, you know, graduating him up to a starter or him playing 25, 30 minutes, 35 minutes a game, But can he give you 15 to 20? Can you get, can he give you that 18 and 18? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of special.
Can I run this, I guess, analogy by you? Katie's duct tape. It's gonna hold your bumper together, but you probably should take that to the shop and actually get like a real answer, a real fix for this.
That seems kind of insulting, but yeah, I get it.
Hey, no, duct tape is great. I didn't say he was like bonding. He is duct tape. Like you can do this, but like that is not going to be the way to actually try and combat this in a real tangible way.
I think that's a fine analogy. I can't go there, but just because I feel like, you know, duct tape is like something that you use when something is like urgently broken, or you like, I need this duct tape.
Was that not the offense last year? Was it not urgently broken?
I do think so, but they were also like, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that they were also the number two seed. This is part of the other side of what has me excited.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that they've got this foundation built, an already good team that he's being added to. So I do think it was urgent for them to add more offense, but I don't know. Maybe I'm also looking at it just in the short term of like, This is even better than that, because you got a real opportunity to go out there. You're not just trying to keep your head above water. You got a real opportunity to go out there and compete for a championship, to go to the Western Conference Finals with Kevin Durant. So just I think the opportunity is a little bit more valuable and shinier than that.
No, for sure. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so duct tape, too much of a pejorative. Fair.
But I see what you mean, though. I see what you mean, because it's not like that's going to be the answer for a long time. You need a more long-term answer. Now back to our conversation about Cam Whitmore. I don't know if that makes him, that doesn't make Kevin Durant less duct tape. Like, you still got those open questions about Cam and Reed that existed, whether you get Kevin Durant or not.
But it just makes it more evident that no, your answers are not inherent if they're not viewing that as a part of
the
solution.
Yeah, yes,
and that's the assumption that I'm making based off the Kelly Eco reporting. Some other things.
It's a shame because I am high on Cam Whitmore and Reed Shepard. I'd like to see them be a part of it.
But I can understand how a coach like Ime in particular might look at a player who at least in theory is mentally, you know, not in the place that he wants and goes, I'm not touching that, even, you know, talent be damned.
Yep.
All right. Some other things that are popping. Astros 2-1 victory yesterday. Salute to Hunter Brown with another fantastic outing, seven innings of work. Abreu comes in for a four out situation at the end of it, a save. And then of course, some good work there. So you get a victory there. I do want to ask y'all about this. After 93 pitches, if memory serves, but he is dealing. And Hader was, I mean, you were going to go to him. Would you have brought him out for the eighth?
Hader? Or
no, would you have brought out
Hunter Brown
and allow him go to the eighth, even though you'd be cracking
high? I saw someone, I think it was Ocho, texting about that. And, that thought never really occurred to me. 93 at this point in the season, you got what you got. You have Abreu ready to go. Now, I know he would have had to be extended a little bit, and he was.
And, I mean, it got a little tough because King came in, and you were anticipating King would get hit, just hold the eighth, and he only got two outs.
Right, right.
I respect that Lopez is, like, not saying for sure, because I do feel like, and I'm saying this because you come from an era where, like, the eighth, if he's dealing, he's in. Because I'm thinking, my sensibility is to, like, so we're doing pitch count versus the timing of the game. Like, he's got 93 pitches, it's the eighth inning, he's dealing, do you bring him out? Well, like, for me, I still kind of harken back to that era where, like, if a guy, you roll a hot hand, if, you know, let him finish the game if he's capable, if he feels like he's rolling.
Yeah.
And, like, I can appreciate the stepping back from that, because that's more gut feeling than data-based, I think.
You don't want to crack 100.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, you would crack 120.
That's the point that I'm making.
My
gut feeling would say, hey, put him back out there. Yeah. The data is clearly telling you, is trying to make you smarter and say, hey, rely on your bullpen. This guy probably shouldn't go again.
I've always been on that side as well, but my logic was also it was influenced by the bullpen. I mean, this is an amazing bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter who might come out.
And that part has to factor into it.
Ultimately, decision worked for Espada, who's been fantastic of late. You got Brandon Walter back out there on the mound today as the Cubs are welcomed in. And, of course, that means a return of Kyle Tucker and a return of Ryan Presley tonight at Daikin. So we'll see what happens there if the Astros can go out there with another challenge in the Cubs, who are a better offensive team than the Phillies are. So that'll be interesting. But then also, we're on watch to see if maybe, just maybe, TBA on Saturday turns into Lance McCullers Jr. Remember yesterday Joe Espada said that if he was feeling good today, that'd be the guy, that there's a chance that that'd be the guy we see on Saturday. I'm assuming that some conversations have happened already, And I just can't wait until we, the general public, find out if that is indeed what we get, because I am super excited if you can get Lance back into pitching and you have more of those established guys at the top of your rotation.
Hey, look, with Lance, I can only be hopeful. We understand Lance's history. Mm-hmm. I can only be hopeful about it. But one last thought before I get out of here, mm-hmm. just to kind of put this on y'all's brain. If they keep playing like this, the Astros, that is, they keep playing like this. I know I did a thing a few weeks back of, are you ready for Jake Meyer's All-Star season? Mm-hmm. This feels like a Joe Espada potential manager of the year.
Absolutely.
Dana Brown potential GM of the year with that Kyle Tucker trade and what they've gotten back and what they've gotten out of those guys. I understand mm-hmm. Wisniewski is hurt and got the Tommy John and all of that. But like that is something that I'm keeping an eye out for. Mm-hmm. Do we have the manager and potential general manager of the year right here in Houston?
All right. That is final words on B. Scott for a Friday, the inaugural B. Scott Friday here in the Loop on Sports right. Radio 610. I think it was really fun. I think this worked out. This might be a thing. You might have a future in this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that before.
Yeah, might try this radio thing.
All right. You're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging with us on a Friday on a DJ Screw day here in Houston. Coming up next, we continue. Oh, man. All right. So DJ Screw, positive vibes. What I'm about to say. Sorry, not quite the same. I'm continuing my 2024 rewatch of the Texan season. Today brings me to week 3 at Minnesota. And
that one.
We'll talk about it next.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.